I pray that I may speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So, Mothering Sunday. I wonder what you think mothering is. What does it look like? How does it feel? Is it something you can do? Mothering Sunday. I wonder what you think this day is really all about. I want to share a story and a couple of biblical reflections that might help us think it through. The story comes from several decades ago when a young couple, Judy and Miroslav, are raising their first child. Nathaniel is theirs, but he hasn't always been because he'd been adopted at the age of 2 days. And the business of being an adoptive father was proving a bit ambiguous for Dad. He was delighted and pleased to have Nathaniel to love, overjoyed at the rapture that the baby was bringing Judy. But he felt deep down there was something wrong about a child being given for adoption. Although he'd benefited, he couldn't but ascribe some kind of failure to Nathaniel's birth mother. Had she not loved him enough to keep him? And this nagging worry cast a shadow over those early days and weeks. It even brought a taint to the joy of having a child. But 3 months later, that tension was removed in an experience of repentance and release. This is what happened. Their son's birth mother got in touch. She wanted, if possible, to see her son one last time. She wanted to leave him a letter that he might read when he was an adult, explaining why she decided what she'd done. And she wanted to see that her child was doing okay. Miroslav and Judy agreed, and so the visit took place. And Miroslav wrote much later in a book about giving and forgiving of what had happened. The first thing I saw was a tear. A huge, unforgettable tear in the big brown eye of a 10-year-old girl. Then I saw tears in her mother's eyes. And in all these tears, just enough joy was mixed with pain to underscore that pain's severity. Their joy at seeing him, their 3-month-old brother and son. And their pain that it was the first time they'd seen him since he was just 2 days old, when they'd kissed him goodbye. I sensed in those tears the ache that he, flesh of their flesh, was being brought to them for a brief visit of 2 strangers who were now his parents. And the joy of loving him as a mother and sister would never fully be theirs. The joy and the pain of those tears led me to repentance. The repentance was of his judgment that Nathaniel's birth mother had failed in letting her son go. Rather, he came to see that gift as a supreme act of love, a sacrifice made at the cost of her pain so that her child could thrive. Because she could never have kept him, even though her heart long to do that. I remembered reading that story in that book many years ago when I thought about the story of Moses' mother from our first Bible reading today. I wonder if she felt something similar. First, as she placed Moses into that basket and let him free into the world, knowing not what would happen to him. Did she feel the same later as she returned him to Pharaoh's daughter after he'd been weaned knowing that she couldn't be his mother anymore. What a mixture of joy and pain. Joy that he was alive and could thrive. Pain that his life came at such a cost and sacrifice. I wonder if Moses' mother in her mothering felt like Nathaniel's mum in hers. I wonder if all mothering is similar to that in some way. Is all authentic mothering a bit like that mix of joy and sacrifice, of gift and grief and love? Whether it's done by a biological mother, or an adoptive mother, a foster mother, a godmother, a stepmother, or any kind of motherly carer, whatever their gender might be. I wonder if all mothering is a glorious mystery of delight and sorrow, of pleasure and loss. Little idyllic babies become chaotic, boisterous toddlers. Sweet children become rebellious teenagers. And the whole point of parenting is to get to the point where a child doesn't need you anymore. Isn't that a sacrifice as well as a joy? Mary is the mother of Jesus. She's sometimes seen as the mother of all the faithful, the mother, in some sense, of all Christians who become brothers and sisters of her own son. And this mother is told in today's gospel reading that a sword will pierce her own soul. She has to give Jesus away. She has to release him from the family home, the carpenter's shop in Nazareth, so that he can embrace his vocation as the Son of God. And the first moment of that giving away happens very soon in Luke's narrative, in that story of the 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" he tells his sorrowing mother. Mary's love means that her child will be released into a life of opposition, so that resurrection life may flow into the world. Mary's mothering has been blessed with rapturous joy. Now she hears it will be shadowed with sacrifice. And one day Jesus himself will tell her, "Who are my mother, my brothers and my sister?" My mother is the one who hears the word of God and does it. I wonder whether all of this points us to the heart of what mothering most fundamentally is. Today in the secular world, that world that inevitably seeps into our living too, today in the secular world is Mother's Day. Now, Mother's Day originated in the late 19th century in the United States, and it became formalized in the first decade of the 20th century as the second Sunday in May in that country. But like apple pie, motherhood is a universal good, so it went viral, and it spread across the whole world. But interestingly, it attached itself to all sorts of different days in the calendar in different cultures. So I think there are about 15 different days around the year when different countries keep a Mother's Day. And in English cultures, it naturally attached itself to Mothering Sunday, that fourth Sunday in Lent, which was Refreshment Day, when people would be given a day off work to go back perhaps to their mother church, their mother village, their mother's home, and do some mothering. Mother's Day has gone viral and attached itself to all sorts of celebrations around the world. And it's been pretty successful, hasn't it? I went to the supermarket to get a card for my mum. There was one Mothering Sunday design among 100 cards for Mother's Day. Mother's Day has mothers at the centre. They are the ones who are thanked and treated, celebrated, praised, even perhaps worshipped. And many lovely and beautiful, perhaps occasionally saccharine and sentimental things will be done on Mother's Day. And there'll be signs of love. But I wonder, could we let this be a Mothering Sunday too? And commit ourselves to that generous, sacrificial, loving, joyful, painful mothering that all of us might do? Can we give thanks for all who've mothered us in that deep way that blends joy and pain? All who've mothered us profoundly with sacrificial love and costly delight. It might well be our birth mothers who've done that. It could be so many other people. But whoever they are, let's give thanks, for they point us to the heart of God.